have fussed over him everywhere. He's been ignored in this country. Actually, I've contributed to it a little, but I should have paid more attention to it. I say, think the same thing's true to you, John. But what is especially important is if you give him a few minutes and make him feel better, it's going to cost you nothing. What will it accomplish? I don't know. Create a better atmosphere than we need it. And he may turn out to be a useful intermediary at some stage. He's taken some initiatives which are not bad from our viewpoint, period. Sure, he's come across and presented a plan under which there will be an average appreciation, 10% of the country, Japanese 15% or so. Not a bad starting point from our viewpoint. I don't want to decide I'm with a special friend of mine. Oh,
discussions at other levels to see what they're willing to do.
it seems to me that on that score, first, you could get a little rundown, John, as to what you think you might say, as to what we could. Arthur made a point the other day, and I think it's a good one, and I know you agree with it. He says that we ought to put forth, you know, sort of security offered something, right, Arthur? I don't mean offering a solution, but say, well, we could consider this or that, in order not to appear to be totally negative, correct?
Right.
That they
harmful, and that they're really putting out in the public. Number one is the import surcharge, number two is gold. Now, I'm not sure Arthur and I agree on gold, but I have answered gold in the conversation that we've had with them two ways. Publicly, I've said to them that you can take the position, but I'm not authorized to take the contrary position, that is, we're going to change the price. In the private conversations, I've said to them that to change the price of gold, we have to go to Congress. And to go to Congress with an issue of this kind would open up Pandora's box. That indeed, we get every protectionist speech made. They're going to hold extensive hearings on our trade with every country in the world. And I think it would be much, much, much debated this issue while the whole domestic environment deteriorates to where we may be forced to a position where we can't do anything. At least that's the risk of an Arthur thinks that we can move, but we could change the price of gold more readily and more easily. But be that as it may, I think there's a risk now. This leaves the other aspect, the import surcharge. What I would do, I would recommend that we remove the import surcharge and our capital controls on condition. If they will remove such restraints as are necessary to permit a free float of our currencies during a transitional period, so that indeed we can determine, so the free market can determine what the relative values of currencies are. Now, this doesn't have to be a big deal. It can be a part of a suggestion. Now, while this would be one suggestion, I would also suggest that we proceed right along and through the deputies, through the group of 10, and try to agree on what amount of revaluation, realignment we have, and so on. But to toss this other out as a suggestion that puts you, in my judgment, in a pretty optimal position.
Other words, you would offer the surcharge and our temporary controls on the condition that they, in effect, reciprocate and in a transitional period have a free flow.
So if they don't have capital control, they don't have a two-tier system, they don't have intervention, so we can determine what the level
is.
I don't think they would.
Because I think they'll feel the risk is too bad. At least it's an offer.
Well, it's an offer, and it's a reasonable offer. The four problems that we have, it seems to me, are these. One, if we have a realignment, how much should it be?
Yeah.
Number two, they want to remove the surcharge. Number three, they want to change the price of gold. Why? Because they don't want to revalue and us not devalue. Now, if there is a realignment, it's not a question how much, but who gives? Who yields? Who makes up the 10 billion or 30 billion? And what proportions do they accept this? So here are four major problems. Now, during the transitional float, you saw all of them. You don't have to change the price of gold because that corrects itself. You remove the import, you offer to remove the import surcharge if they will. So that's all. The amount of realignment, you don't have to agree on anything. The market will determine how much the realignment is. And it also determines how much each country gives, because the dollar will be in one position versus the yen, will be in another position versus the Canadian dollar, will be in another position versus the German mark and the French franc and so forth. So that this transitional flow period would answer all four of the very fundamental problems that we have to concern ourselves with. Now, frankly, I think they're going to think the
you don't make that the only avenue.
Okay, if we go right on through the deputy's meetings and the G-10 ministry meetings, working on the other bases as well, just carry them kind of. Now, that's another time to use an opening, as an opener.
Was the chief opponent of raising the price of
particularly with the Japanese and the French, they're both great leaders. The British will not leave, and neither will you. Well, the Germans might, but the British won't. You know they won't. But I think that our moving around among them may find some kinks in their armor and also be encouraged some. Rather than to just treat it all as one group.
Well, I've been encouraging. Look, the Germans have told me right now that they will work with us. Up to what point, I don't know. But they have said that repeatedly. Now then, I have intimations from the Europeans to gang up on the Japanese. And I'm not discouraging that at this point, you see.
Yeah.
Sure, they're going to do it.
They're afraid of the Japanese.
Because the decision with regard to British Empire is not going to be just simply
Now, I mention these things because it seems to me, John, that, and I don't, you did have to talk to Henry, that you're a specialist. It seems to me that we don't, while we must never indicate to them that there's any economic problem, banking problem in your case, the trading problem in yours, let us recognize that for the British, for the French, for the Germans, and for the Japanese, it is all tied into politics. And therefore, we don't want to give them a damn thing politically unless we get something economically. At the same token, we can take some things away from them politically if they get it, they're too hard on us economically. That's just about the way we have done it. Seems to me.
What's the time period on the common market? You got that?
I don't know.
I don't think there's a lot of time.
January 73.
Or wait.
73?
Yes, sir.
Or December 31st.
Political decision. About it. So that's when they would actually move.
Well, that we decided in about 60 days. Britain did.
It was money.
Britain. But that's, but France is still usual. The December 73.
Really?
Yeah. January 73.
France can always change their mind.
More time than I would.
Yeah, we've got about 16 months.
I do not, though, and that's a point of our action. I would not allow this decision to be made without weighing in the international political situation, and also, as we were saying there in the cabin room, without weighing in very heavily until the elections of November 72, the domestic political repercussions. Because, boy, there it is true. The domestically in this country, there's a strong anti-foreigner attitude, which is not healthy, and which we damn well have got to. We've got to be just a little bit ahead of them, or somebody will seize that. You know what I mean? And I think we can. We just it's a tightrope act. We've got to be very responsible, and yet we've got to convince the American people we're standing up for their interest. That's what it gets down to. That's why making a deal too quick appeared to be too appearing to be strong and firm for U.S. interest is very important to us at this point from a domestic political standpoint. So what we'll do is now, let's come back to this speech business. Does this meet with your general thing that I could make a few remarks at the time of the reception? Which would be brief in general, and the rest, and have John make the speech opening the audience. After all, hell, I'm not the Secretary of Treaty.
Well, I don't like to speak anywhere, but you do.
You ought to
know. Right. Yes, I'll speak anyway, sir. I govern the United States, so well, not you make one, and if you, I don't feel as strongly about it, very frankly. Some of them do, I don't. I think people will make some remarks to the governors and the alternate governors up here for a second. I wouldn't argue with that. You feel a different way about it?
No, like when President last year was five, I hope you will remember to do a little bit of motion, sir. I think it's very important that you lose nothing by it, and I see you make a potential gain.
All these things, I said, my reluctance is only because I can't do anything more than I can't pull something out which, whereas John Kelly, you all not. I really don't think I can do it up there and give them a lot of glittering generalities, because as you said, they're smart. They'll see it. They'll say, oh, for God's sake, he didn't say anything. Well, that's what I'm afraid of. The real policy, my question of glittering generalities, is that you're going to be really on center stage,
and right.
You can't just be outgoing. When you get in that position, then you've got to make even a stronger statement about the protection of America.
That's right.
And this tends to destroy everything you've done.
Well, that will destroy it also with them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you do more harm than good. You can't get up there and just say, well, you know, I'm an internationalist.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with you, and we're going to work this out. You've got to protect your home front.
That's sure.
What
it is.
And you drive me to these strategies. We're going to speak these big men to the American audience. It'll be on television. Whereas here in the East Room, it will not be on television. There, I can just say, well, I can be very outgoing there. And I think that's the place to be outgoing. And then also afterwards, I can circulate around, and you and John could bring up to me on that occasion. I'll stand there for an hour or so. You should bring up to me the guys that are trying to help us, right?
absolutely right for a world governed by reason. The world is not governed simply by reason. And at least in the short run, emotion, passion, even madness can govern the world. It's not to the interest of the other countries to put up restrictions on trade and capital movements and so on. They have far more to lose than to gain. But in the short run, having their political problems, having their business pressures, etc., they're already doing it. That's fact number one. Fact number two, fact question mark number two, now this is something I am going to look into pretty carefully. But the central bankers keep on telling me that there is an incipient, that there are signs of an incipient recession in Europe. The Japanese say that they are in a recession now. The only country I know anything about from an economic viewpoint, not in any detail, I've been busy with other things, is Germany. Germany, profits are down sharply, and orders for capital equipment are down, and these are signs of the civil
war. Why are they having a recession? Why are these countries having a recession?
Well, you know, it's the goddamn thing.
It's not about us.
Yeah, but wait. This is my
opinion.
Primarily to the inflation problem.